Right, we're going to try this mic again. Lauren, let us know if there's something we need to do. We're going to have some sharing today. Instead of a sermon, we're going to hear from a couple of youth and a few adults that went to Ivana's Regen Conference. This is the third conference that Ivana's put on. It's called Regen, and they've done it every year the last 3 years as they're kind of getting established as an organization and now as a network. And now it'll come again in 2020. And I will say right now, I'm encouraging all of you to attend. I've been to well over 20, maybe 30 conferences of different sorts over the last 15 years of ministry, or even as a youth. And I said this to the group, I think this is the most powerful, the best conference I've ever been at. It was awesome. So impactful. It was good. Rocky's already saying amen. So, we're going to have a little bit of sharing. Might be a little bit different Sunday, but I hope you catch a glimpse of what God is doing in our hearts that we're on the trip, and also how that can impact us as a community here at Lower Deer Creek and our extended community. So, with that, I'm going to invite Hannah and Malia to come up. We decided we were going to share this week and then didn't realize that most of the youth were going to be gone on vacation or somewhere. So I'm going to invite the two of you to share first.
Okay, so the theme was New Day, New Start, and there were lots of amazing speakers and lots of information to soak in all in the 4 days that we were there. One thing that Kim Meter said was this world is busy, and busy, the acronym she gave for busy was being under Satan's yoke. And I think often many of us are too busy and don't maybe realize it. And then another thing that was shared, one thing from a seminar that I went to that was very, very meaningful to me, could relate with a lot of it. The speaker shared 10 things to simplify in our lives. 1, your possessions. 2, your time commitments. 3, your goals. 4, your negative thoughts. 5, your debt. 6, your words. 7, your diet. 8, your screen time. 9, your connections to the world, and 10, your multitasking. So he asked the question, which one of the 10 is the most challenging to us? And many of the people in the group said time commitments, which I found as a shock. I was expecting screen time to be a big one. I mean, it was a big one we could all relate with, but yeah. And then one other thing that was amazing was the worship was phenomenal. Just getting closer to God and just being with each other and worshiping and knowing that it was a safe place to worship our Heavenly Father.
Okay, so I went to a seminar by Natalie Francisco, I believe that's her name, and one thing she said was tags, and T is for talents, A is for abilities, G is for gifts, and S is for skills. And we want to be who God created us to be and accept those tags, because a lot of people like to hide their, it's like insecurities basically, like they don't want to, you know, be who they are, they want to be somebody else, but God created us to be who we were and gave us our talents, our abilities, gifts, and skills to be who we are.
Thanks, gals. It's not easy to share up here, is it? No. I was going to mention, there were 39 of us that actually went on the trip. There was 20 youth and sponsors and then 19 other adults that went and either experienced it or served as volunteers there, and it was awesome. So I'm going to invite some adults to come up to share if if you all want to at least kind of make your way up if you're wanting to share. And let's hear. I think there's at least four of you. Gentry, first, he's going to start us off.
Thanks, Steve. I'm not really an adult. I'm just a mentor, I guess. What an awesome trip that was. And can you guys stand up that we're there so we can see everyone? I mean, that is a really cool group that we got to see. And it's like we brought LDC out to Regen. It is so neat when you walk in there, you have people that are inviting us into worship that are the ladies here from LDC, some of the ladies here. Me and Michelle really felt at home there. We were sitting talking one evening, or one morning I think it was, about how we need coffee every day, that we need so much coffee to stay with these kids. They're keeping us up late. And a wonderful candy lady was sitting next to us, and she said, well, here's money for coffee every day, you guys, which, you know, is such an awesome thing about this congregation. Some of the things that I learned there, there's this thing called Snapchat, and it's a great way for us to communicate with the kids. That was something new. Challenging thing, when we got there, the youth, the MYFers said, instead of sitting back towards the middle, let's take up the front two rows, which was stretching me. I did not want to sit in the front two rows. I wanted to sit in the middle, but I thought that was great that you guys did that. It's really neat to see how 3-4 days we bond together as a group. It's really stretching at first to get you guys to talk. It's stretching to get us to talk to you guys. And that was one thing that really stuck out in my mind from the whole time was we had a prayer time was that Sunday night? I think it was Sunday night we met in the chapel, and all the youth gathered in a circle, and we had everyone that was there from LDC as well as two prayer warriors that stood over all of us, prayed into the youth, and the power of prayer that we felt was amazing. The next morning, maybe that evening and the next morning, we had a group time with the MYF, and the difference from the first start to being there to then, they really opened up and spoke, and that was just the power of prayer. Lucas and Marshall were there. They were a great inspiration to us. They brought liveliness to our group, and that was cool to see them. It was really neat to see them. And our main man, Steve, was involved in almost all the sports that they were playing together, and we got some championships that we brought home with us. So it was really, really neat to see these youth grow, and we were very encouraged by that. So thank you.
Steve, I thought you said you were going to pass the mic. I didn't know we were going to get up here to talk. You know how I love to get up in front. I lost my voice this morning almost, too. What I wanted to talk about, mention, was the chapel at Taylor University. And about 10 years ago, they dedicated a chapel to... There was 5 students that lost their lives in a van accident from the college. And it was an awesome place of worship that you could go to any time during the day. And it was like a sacred place, and we had some special times there. And the neat thing that I really appreciated about Regen is they had prayer teams that were always available. Just like Gentry said, prayer is so important. And so they had lined up couples and some singles. They spent time praying. They've been praying for Regen for a long time. But throughout the whole weekend, you could sign up to go talk with them, and they would pray with you. And in fact, they had met with us with the MYF when we had a special time in the chapel at 11 o'clock at night, and we prayed for each of our MYFers, and that was really special. And one of the speakers, the reason I refer to prayer being so powerful, Martin Thomas, the pastor in Indianapolis, said, "Satan is committed to our destruction. He's our adversary, trying to disrupt our lives. He's out to discourage us, to divide us, to distract us, to deceive us, and to defeat us." And so that's why I think that prayer, this can all be defeated with prayer, because God gives us the tools to fight the adversary, to fight Satan. And that's something I'd really like to see happen more here at Lower Deer Creek even. The power of prayer before services, the power of prayer like during the services and after services. So maybe Steve can talk more to that. But that was just what really excited me, is the power of prayer from these people. Thank you.
It was a good conference, better than in past years. The first night we heard from Bishop Leslie Francisco, and he spoke using Ecclesiastes 3, a time and a season for your life. You might ask, where is God in this situation? It rains on the just and the unjust. God is a sustainer. He is our hope in a crisis situation. And he went on to say, my blessing may have been delayed, but it was not denied. These are from my notes I took of that evening. You were made for this point in time. God has called you to such a time as this. God needs me to do his work. The thief comes to steal your desire, kill your purpose, destroy your destiny, but I have come to give you life abundant. We need to live with intentionality. Destiny thieves work overtime. Everything in your life begins with a thought. So a man thinketh, so he is. God can select or elect, but God appoints and anoints. He is our sovereign God. I know who I am and whose I am. It was difficult to choose what to share with you this morning, but hopefully you can get just a glimpse of the God-appointed speakers that we were privileged to hear. And I'd like to reiterate what Steve said. If you ever get a chance to go, I would encourage that. It was really good.
Hello. Wow, what a trip. First time I ever been in a different time zone. Yippee. Yeah, I'm pretty much stuck around here, never been nowhere, but I got to say it was quite the ordeal experience. Me and Pastor Don were roommates. We drove up together. We were like one. It was great. I don't know if I rubbed off on him a little bit, but if I did, I'm sorry. The youth group were awesome. They acted like total adults. I don't ever remember me acting like that when I was you guys' age, so you guys were very mature and grown up. I take my hats off to you. I had a few one-on-ones with my testimony and with other people's testimony. That's probably what I enjoyed the best. The band was good too, by the way. I still lost my voice. But after the first testimony I shared with a fellow named Martin Thomas, it was pretty interesting, and I told him my testimony. And by the end of the day, I had 6 or 7 people want to hear my testimony because they've heard a little bit about it, so I was pretty busy. The sports events, good job, guys. I kind of wanted to get involved in it, but I think I got about maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep at night, so the break time, I took a 2-hour nap. But yes, I am so privileged to got to have gone. I thank everybody who invited me and made me feel welcome and at home, and it was great. Go if you get a chance.
Okay, well, you know, I get a different perspective of convention because I've been a part of a lot of them. And in the background of convention, when you are part of music or whatever, from my vantage point, I've always been a part of music. And I've always been in the back behind the curtain, and I come out and we sing, and then I go back. And I don't really get to intermingle with what's going on out here. And so the last two, I've sat out there and I've watched. And the whole time I'm like, man, I wish I could be up there playing. It would be so awesome. But you know, my place was down there. And I was watching it from a whole different perspective because there are people on stage more talented than I could ever be. But God speaks to us where we are and where we need it at that time. And so He's telling me, I need you not to just be a part of worship, but I need you to worship me. I need you not to know about me. I want you to have a relationship with me. And that was really impressed upon my heart, is where is my relationship with Him? And, you know, it's so cool to be a part of conventions of the past where you go backstage and you get to talk to all the speakers and you get to hang out, and it's so awesome. But because this is so, it's so compact, when the speakers come down off the stage, you get to follow them out the aisle, and you get to talk to them in the back, and you get to do the Mennonite game back there. And we connected with a lot of speakers. They knew a lot of people we knew from different parts of the country, from Los Angeles to Christmas Valley. And that's how God's family is. It knows no boundaries. It knows no walls. It knows no institutions. It knows no denominations. It just knows faithful people. And so I was encouraged to know that there are faithful people out there beyond our four walls that are serving the same God and doing, you know, pretty important stuff. And two words I took away from convention. One was hostile. Satan is hostile to us. Satan wants to defeat you, Isaac. He wants to defeat me. He wants you to lose your faith. He wants us to lose the excitement we have in our lives. He wants us to lose track of, lose sight of, not be a part of. He wants to, with all His might, have us not follow God this much. Because once we give Him this much, He's got it. Because all Satan wants us to do is just go. And if He can do it once, He can do it twice. What, God? Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm right here. That's all He needs. He is hostile. He does not want us to have victory in Jesus. He doesn't. And the other word was, it's dirty work. And when we follow Christ and when we start doing His work, it becomes dirty. As we were, Kathy and I were speaking to a lot of these people, I was encouraged because a lot of things they said to do, we are doing. And a lot of the things they encourage us to do more of, we are already doing it. So it's not like, you know, we're way off in la-la land. We are in the midst of what God wants us to do. But the thing I was encouraged about is these people, as they were telling their story, were the kind of people who rolled up their sleeves and were doing it. They weren't telling us about it, or about an organization or an institution. They were actually in these ministries and doing these things. So it wasn't third-hand information or second-hand information. It was stuff that they were doing today and yesterday and will do tomorrow. And that was so encouraging to know that God's people are out there like that. And so a lot of the people here who worship on worship teams met with their worship team, and we had a little powwow session with them. It was so cool. And we met in a circle, and we just asked a bunch of questions back and forth. They asked us questions. We asked them questions. And we were encouraged by them. They were encouraged by us. And then at the end of it, we put them in the circle, and we prayed for them as they ministered to us. And wow, it was so powerful, because they were 20-somethings like our 20-somethings. So we could relate. Well, I couldn't. I'm however old I am. But, you know, it was like we're rubbing elbows and we're doing the same thing, and it's God's work and it's all awesome. That's where it was. And it was so cool. It was so awesome. Thank God for those kinds of things that are happening.
I might just say amen and then let's go sit down. I just might. So first off, I don't want to copy Steve, but honestly, it might have been the best conference I've ever been to, honestly. And no, he's not in his 20s. He had a birthday yesterday along with Deb Yoder. They're not in their 20s. So this Martin Thomas that everyone's talking about was this guy that had an experience like none of us have ever probably had or ever will. He was kind of fresh out of prison. Honestly, he was only out about a year and a half. And he loved the church. Before he went into prison, he was a pastor, and he loved the church. And like most of us, we've been carried to church as babies. We sit in these pews, and we love the church. We love being servants. We love being involved. But he said until he went into prison, which was another whole story why he went in there, he said he not only he knew about God, but he didn't know God. And I'm like, how? And when he spoke, he was so knowledgeable. And I talked to him afterwards, and he said that, he goes, yeah, I was a gifted speaker, and I knew about God, and I loved the church, but I didn't know God until I went to prison, which that doesn't seem right. But that's exactly what happened, because he said for 22 years, all he had was time to know God and to read his word. And so my challenge, and someone else said it, maybe you said it, I don't just want to know about God in my head. I want to know God in my heart. And like, do I know God? And that was my challenge, is to come home and, you know, also roll up our sleeves and to get in this battle. And I can't remember who said it, and it's such a simple thing, but if we want to know God, we have to be in his word. And I'm like, am I in his word, or do I run to my phone the first thing in the morning and sit there for an hour and like, ooh, now I'm late, now I got to dash off. So to be in his word and then to pray. That sounds so simple, but we have to do it. But then the final thing was then go do what you read and what you've heard from God. Go do it. So my challenge is, let's get in the word, let's pray, and let's go do it. And the other thing that Mary mentioned, the power of the prayer warriors that were all around the campus, they had the gold cords, and we kind of knew who they were. They had announced it at the beginning. And they invited us, hey, you know, anytime you just want to pray. And I thought, well, I don't, you know, probably won't. I don't know. Maybe I will. But I was walking out of lunch one day and heading over to be the greeter. And I was a little bit like, oh, man, it was hot. It was kind of a walk. It was good for us, but it was kind of a walk. And there were some golf carts sitting there. And I thought, this couple, one of them was a prayer, the lady that was on the prayer team. And I go, man, we should jump in one of these. And she goes, actually, we're driving. Do you want to come with us? And I thought, well, okay. It was her and her husband. So I rode with them. And then for some reason, she said, hey, do you want to get together and pray? And I thought, yeah, that'd be nice. And she goes, you know, if you have a chance, they have where it's workplace, you can get on and text them or whatever and say, do you want to set up a time? Well, in the meantime, Gil's phone had died. And so he had my phone, so I didn't have a phone. And so I was really footloose without a phone. I didn't have to look at it. I didn't have to look at anything. I didn't have to answer it or anything. He just did. And the ladies kept tabs of me and him. So I didn't text her because I'm like, well, I don't have a phone. And it was down to like 2 days before I'm going to leave. And it was one of the sessions I was tired as well. We didn't get very much sleep. I don't know why. We just stayed up. And I'd been tired from the week before. So I thought, I'm going to go down and get a little bit of coffee. And I'd slipped out of the service. Nobody was down there, but guess who? The prayer lady, Heather. And so I'm like, okay. You know, she said she invited me to pray. I'm going to just, you know, get my coffee and then I'm going to go talk to her. And I said, hey, you know what? I would like to pray. So anyway, that in itself was just like that was supposed to happen. So she prayed over me, and it was very powerful. Not that we haven't all been prayed for, but it was just in a way that she challenged me and gave me some things that, I don't know, insights and things that just really hit me. And when I left her, and I didn't know this, she said, this is for you, Life Recovery Bible. And I'm like, am I in recovery? But you know what? We're all in recovery, aren't we? Honestly, we're all in recovery, and I found something that, yeah, I need to recover from. But it was more than that inside, and I didn't know she wrote in this till I left. She said, your greatest weapon is your freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that he has set you free. So I am free, and I can recover, and that can be as simple as a recovery from, you don't have to have a deep, dark addiction, but we all are recovering in something in our lives. And I'm thankful that I went, and I do challenge everyone 2020 to get on board, and thanks.
I do want to make one more comment. You know, we've all been charged with one thing, and that is to spread the gospel, the Great Commission. You know, we're not to accept Christ and then go into cocoon and hide. And so for most of us, that may mean that we share Christ with our family, and you may stop there. But I think for the vast majority of us, we're called to share that with other people, with where we work, where we play, and all those other things. And as those people come to Christ, you know, we see the family of God grow. And I kid you not, watching Rocky there was a blessing to me, Rocky, because it's like, here's a guy, what does he know about this thing called a relationship? What does he know about Christ? You know, he can look at a Bible on the cover, you know, he can tell you what's on the cover because he can read it and he can flip it over and then maybe there's a bonded leather thing on the bottom, but he doesn't really know what's inside. But that's okay because God fills the story. God fills the story. And to watch God fill his story that week was awesome. I mean, that's my God that I serve, Rocky, that you serve too. He does those things, but he doesn't do them if we don't share our faith. He doesn't do it if we don't say anything, nothing will happen. But because Dan was able to step out, Dan, our evangelist Dan. I mean, we laugh, but it's, you know, that's where we all are. All we have to do is step out one time and say one sentence. And God works through that. And God honors that. And Rocky's here because he honored what Dan did. And we're all charged with that same responsibility. Kath and I are no longer raising children. Hallelujah! But I have a new charge. Because I have grandchildren. And I have a whole new world that's opening up to me that children are restricting me from. That is my commission. So, thank you, Rocky. You were a blessing to me. Keep it up, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to share a few words, and then I think Don's going to close us up. So this one of the speakers, she spoke three nights. She was kind of the keynote speaker, this Kim Meter. She told a story that was just awesome, and it was maybe even more impactful for me. I think the way that she connects with God is a lot of the ways that I connect with God through a time in creation. Part of her story, she operates this ranch that is it was a broken ranch in Oregon, in a beautiful area, but it was all rocks, and they had to bring in dirt and everything they could find just to make it so it was usable. And so she took this broken ground, and they rehabilitate broken horses that have been neglected or abused. And then they help in the rehabilitation of broken kids. And so they bring these kids in. I've read some of her stories from, she's got a couple books, and they're just incredible testimonies. And so it was awesome. So she tells a story one day, and this was the last night she spoke about, and there's more to the story, it's going to be a very condensed version, but she was walking in the woods, and she found a couple shed antlers. Not these shed antlers, but I love finding shed antlers. And she found a match set, actually, of elk antlers. And she was walking through the woods and all of a sudden felt, just God speaking to her and talking about how Satan is attacking our land. And she felt this need to stand up and be alert. And she looked, and 10 feet away from her was a mountain lion in full crouch, getting ready to attack. And she tells more to this story about how this mountain lion, she could just see in its eyes, it was crouched, it was getting ready to attack her. And here she is with these elk antlers, which are incredibly rare to find, let alone a match set. And says how there's more to the story. She actually lunged at it once, thinking maybe it's going to run off, because she felt God clearly saying, you need to fight. You need to fight this mountain lion. And it called her bluff, and she was 3 feet away from it, and knowing that if she turned her back, it was going to attack her. And she actually lunged at the mountain lion, and just before her antlers were going to go right into it, it ran off with its tail running. And so she talked about Satan and how he is like a lion ready to attack us. And we need to fight back. We need to fight back to regain control of our land. Fight back to gain control of our hearts. Fight back to regain that which Satan is clearly trying to take away. And we need to drive it out with the love of Christ. Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And it goes on to talk about the armor of God, everything we need to put on. We need to fight back what Satan is trying to do. That Martin Thomas talked about how he'd been in jail 20 years, and when he came back, it was a culture shock. Because he said Sunday wasn't Sunday anymore. Satan has taken control of a huge part of Sunday. And for him, Sunday is now NFL Sunday. That's what he sees in the culture. And I see much more than that. So many of you remember how Sunday used to be all about church. Everything else was closed. But Satan has slowly crept in. And Satan's pretty coordinated with his attacks. They talked about us winning a few competitions. I helped win this pickleball tournament, which was a blast with Jeremy Niemeyer. Played dodgeball, and I actually was late because I was talking to somebody at a seminar, and got in for our team of six of us to play dodgeball, and they lost the first round, and it was a double elimination, and they said, where were you? And sorry, I was talking to him late. And so we ended up playing and coming back. And I was very strategic in how I played dodgeball. And I'm playing dodgeball with these guys. I'm like, all right, take out that one. He's the big one. He's got a cannon of an arm. Like, let's take him out first. Adidas shirt, take him out now. And we're coordinating together to take out their strongest people. And then get to the next group. And there was actually this group of children that beat a whole bunch of adults, and it was really cool. They were like 8 or 9 year olds, and there was a couple of these teams, and they're taking out high schoolers, and we took them on. And I'm like, take out those two adults with them. And then I threw the ball so hard at this 8 year old and drilled him. I'm glad he put up his hand because it was going to hit him in the face. And they made a comment about how they said they saw adults throwing balls as hard as they could at these kids. And we ended up coming and had to beat the final team twice to win it. And again, it was just this coordinated attack, like we're taking them on, taking them. And so I say that, and I'm reflecting, I'm like, that is exactly what Satan does. He's trying to take out our leaders. He's trying to take out those that have the most impact, that are fighting the most for the kingdom with the love of Christ. And like Gil said, you just take your eyes off Jesus and Satan is ready to attack. And then once he takes out a few, he's got the small ones left. So yes, I'm putting myself in the role of Satan there, that coordinating attacks. And the only way that we can withstand that is by driving out Satan with the love of Christ. Say that again. There's only one way Satan could not attack us. And that through worship. Satan can't do anything through worship. When we're just praising God, he has nothing to fight back. Thanks, Gil. Last thing I'll share, and then I'll hand it off to Dawn. She said this phrase near the end, this Kim Meter, I just thought it was so dead on. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And she said the key word there is the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And she said this with such passion, it was awesome, that he might do it like a roaring lion, but we serve the true lion, and that's the Lion of Judah, and he will fight. He's defeated Satan, and there's nothing that Satan can do against that tax. So with that, I'll hand it off to Don to close us up.
I would like to reiterate the fact that the regen experience is not limited to going to the assemblies, to the gatherings, but each and every one of you who's part of Lower Deer Creek can get on Workplace. It is a platform like Facebook, so you can, if anybody does Facebook, you can do Workplace, but it is a closed platform. You can't just waltz onto it. Nobody can waltz right onto it. You have to go through the church office to get on to it, and Donna will help you. I would reiterate what has been said and remind us that God is perfect. If you would turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 22. One thing that stood out to me was that every one of our preachers and teachers were individuals who had gone through a hard time, a broken time in their lives, and God had redeemed that time and made something new. As we look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, and if you have a pencil with you, I would like for you to put a star by that verse or underline that verse, because this is a confession of a man who knew God's heart. I mean, that's how he got into the ministry he was called, right? We also remember all the things that had happened to David and all the violence that was in his heart and all the violence that had been part of his life and he had actually done unto others. But this is a man of God that comes and says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him." If I think about the Regen Conference this year, a new day, a new start. What John Troyer, our executive director, and those who are part of planning, we're trying to shake our understanding, is that this God we serve is a God of shalom. And we as a peace church have always talked about peace. And we always relate it to war. But we're selling God's peace really short. Because God is a God that will take our broken pieces, our scattered pieces sometimes, our hardships, everything that Satan would like to throw at us to break us, and Creator God can put us together, sometimes in new and beautiful ways to serve Him better. And I think of David and all that brokenness, coming to an admission to those around him that as for God, His way is perfect. What I found coming out of the conference more than once was the fact that so many times we've been distracted, thinking that we all had it, all the pieces together, and we were doing it right, and we fail to yield to a perfect God. I mean, I love the church. I love three hymns and worship songs, and I sort of have, anybody know me that I have sort of a rote and a system I like to do things? Okay, well, yeah. Yeah. Steve puts his hand in the air. And one of the things I was challenged in was to open myself to the new things that God is willing to do and the way God is willing to redeem even our hardest of times. Of course, he had to drive that point home this week. Redeem our even hardest of times for God's kingdom purposes. The key is we need to yield and allow Him to do it. The second part of this verse, He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. That's our active part where we must give up our old protocol and our old ways of doing things to allow God to do a new thing in us. In the midst of that, we had Marion Bontrager bringing the Heilsgeschichte, a word that I don't think Rocky had heard before. And I just told him, don't say Gesundheit. When he says Heilsgeschichte, don't say Gesundheit. And then Marion never used the word. Reminding us that God has been working on this an awful long time. That our loving God has been working to draw us ever closer to Him in relationship from all the way at Genesis. And then He reminds us that there's a time in the future where He's going to bring it all to pass in Revelation. So my challenge came also in the fact that John Troyer announced his resignation. And I thought it was interesting. He said, in 6 to 12 months, who announces his resignation in 6 to 12 months? But a man who's concerned and caring about the organization, he's wanting God to lead both the organization and his own ministry. He's got good reasons. That little kids, those beautiful kids of his, are one of the reasons it just too much time on the road. It's also a good time to remake the entity Ivana. So he's got good reasons. But for a leader to put it out there, hey guys, I think the Lord's leading me another direction. I don't know what that direction is, but it's on my heart, and so I give it to you. Let's do this thing together. Let's do this thing together. For me, allowing God to lead means for me as a leader, I might have to put my cookies in a different cupboard. I might have to look outside the box. I might have to do things differently than I've always done them. And it may take me out of the comfort zone. I'm still a little uncomfortable running across the stage when certain songs are done, but I saw Rocky, and he did. He ran across the stage. Yeah, he did. But when I think about the song that he did it to, and the release and the freedom that song talks about, running across the stage is pretty appropriate. I'm not sure we can all do it in this size of room. But we're going to close with that song this morning as a way of saying, hey folks, it is a new day. We have a new start. And God is willing, in fact, He's anticipating, I believe, to do a new thing among us. Not only as individuals who open our lives to Jesus Christ individually as Lord and Savior, but I think God is calling us to new things as a group, as a people of God who are called and identified by His name in a world who's looking for examples of how God is willing and able to move. And that's the excitement that I see happening in the church today and happening among us. So I will close with prayer, and then we'll see if anybody wants to run. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You that You're alive and well and calling us to new things. Heavenly Father, forgive us for amusing You so, with wanting to do things comfortably. Put in us a heart of adventure that calls us forward to do things as You would have them done, in a way that brings You honor and glory and praise. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall back into old patterns that are comfortable, and nudge us to new things. Heavenly Father, allow us to look again anew at Your Son, Jesus Christ, whose love brought Him into a world in chaos, and who drew individuals to Himself to love. Lord, as we draw close to Jesus, may we feel the fullness of His love to the point that we're willing to share it with others. And may we go from this place this morning with a renewed sense of who we are in this day and from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join us, whether that be running across the stage or worshiping in whatever way you want. Let's claim the freedom that Christ has given us.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my till I met You. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my doom till I met You. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into Your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into Your glorious day. Now Your mercy has saved my soul. Now Your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met You. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into Your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave.
into your glorious day.